Okay, we are ready now to go ahead a little bit ahead with another topic. First of all, someone asked me to expand a little bit more the thoughts on this sensus fidei, which I mentioned during the homily. What is the sensus fidei? Sensus fidei is a Latin word, as you see, and the translation is, in order to understand, is we can say a sensation of the faith. What does it mean? We have to go back to the importance of practicing the virtues of Christian life. Yes, we started a conference with this important topic in order to achieve a true happiness. We have to be virtuous. We have to practice the virtues of Christian life. And the virtue is a habit, something that you get by exercising that action, by repeating that action. The more you repeat it, the more you become, you get that habit, you become virtuous. The more you are patient, the easier you become patient. Yeah, there is no other way to be patient. Then being patient in all difficult moments of your daily life. With the faith, there is something like happening. The faith, actually, is a virtue. Yeah? Is a theological virtue. Three are the theological virtues: faith, hope, and charity. Theological, because they are very special. Among all other virtues, these three are very special because they are given directly by God, and they have God Himself as their own object. The faith is to believe in God. Hope is to hope, to be ready for what God has promised us. Charity is to love God. So, faith is a virtue, which means it is infused, of course, by grace. We receive faith when we receive grace. Sanctifying grace is the moment when faith is infused, is given to us. And but in order to have, to keep that flame always alive, faith is like a little flame burning. To keep it alive, we have to practice the faith. We have to make acts of faith. This is explaining also the importance of praying. And when you pray, you make acts, some acts of faith, in order to renew your faith. Yes, this is the reason we profess our faith during the Mass, especially on Sundays. We say the Creed. Why? We know that we know the truths. We believe those truths, but it is important to repeat, to profess again and again, in order to make these acts of faith, and so to have the habit of faith, to have the faith as something habitual, something that you go always with, because faith becomes part of you. The more you practice this faith, the more you profess correctly the faith, because the danger is also to go a little bit astray when you say, as heretics normally do, I don't like that kind of faith. I don't like that article of faith, too complicated. I prefer this other faith, this other doctrine. I don't like that doctrine, too strict. I prefer this other doctrine. I want to make my own doctrine. I have my own faith. You know, this is a danger. But when you profess your faith correctly, and then we will see what does correctly mean. When you profess that faith, basically when you profess the creed is the rule of faith, yes? The creed is the norm. All the faith of the church is presented, although in articles, schematically, but in a very complete way, in the creed. When you profess that faith, you get the habit of faith. And the more you do it, the more you get that habit. That habit is becoming part of you, part of your life. So this way to profess diligently the faith according to the norm of the church, according to the creed, the symbol of the faith, the easier you become a believer who has no longer a difficulty to stick to that truth. That truth that you believe becomes part of you, so to speak. Yeah? And you have a kind of inclination to accept it, to believe in it, without too much effort, without struggling whether that truth is understandable or not. No. When you believe according to the faith of the Church, and you believe repeatedly, correctly and repeatedly, you get this sensus fidei, sensation of faith. Faith becomes your life, becomes your way to live. So if you believe, and you believe correctly, you have sooner or later, better sooner than later, you get this sensation of faith. Sensation, which means what? Kind of feeling, but a supernatural feeling, not something sensible, something supernatural, telling you this is true, this is not true. You can adhere to this doctrine because this is a doctrine of the Church, this is not. You have an inclination, a kind of immediate feeling, supernatural feeling, to understand what is true, what is not. When you listen to a preacher speaking, you believe, and you have all right intentions to believe according to the faith of the Church, and that preacher starts to say something very, very strange, preaching a new idea, preaching something which is not according to the faith of the Church, you immediately have a kind of red light popping up and say, this is not correct. But in order to have this inclination, immediate sensation, you have to believe. And you have to believe correctly. Otherwise, you might easily be led astray by that kind of new novelty, that kind of new idea preached, and you are not aware of the risk of that new idea is bringing about. So this sensation is then the way you are prompted by the Holy Spirit, because in the end, this sensation is the action of the Holy Spirit within you, prompting you to accept what is right and to reject what is wrong. To accept the true faith, which means to accept Jesus Christ, and to reject what is not according to Jesus Christ. So the point is to believe correctly, yes? Because we have to believe, but it is not enough to just believe, but it is important to believe according to the church, according to the faith of the church. Why? Because faith is not my private property. Faith is not mine. Faith is not yours. Faith is not of that bishop, or faith does not belong to that pope. Faith is the revelation of Jesus Christ to his church. And without the faith, without the keeping of that faith, as Jesus revealed it and the apostles have taught it constantly and handed it over to their successors, there is no salvation. So it is important to believe, but to believe correctly. What does it mean to believe correctly? In this moment of confusion, it is important to understand how to believe correctly, how to properly believe. So let's go a little bit now back to the importance of faith, to understand how to properly believe, to believe correctly. Faith. Let us begin again with faith. Faith is a great gift we have received by grace. Faith is also, objectively speaking, subjectively, it's a gift I have received. But of course I cannot say, okay, I have received faith, faith is mine, my property, I decide what to do with my faith. I decide what to believe, what not to believe. No, faith is not yours. Faith is a gift to you to come and believe in what Jesus and the church have taught. So, subjectively, faith is my gift, a gift I received by grace, but objectively, faith is the doctrines, this unity of doctrines that Jesus has revealed, has preached, and the church has kept as Jesus preached them. And while keeping them, the church has, through the apostles, who were the first to listen to Jesus, has handed over to other people, especially to the successors of the apostles, the first bishops, that faith. So, objectively, faith is these norms, these doctrines, these truths that the church keeps as the so-called deposit of faith. There is a deposit of faith. This deposit is made by the articles of faith: God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, then Jesus Christ, the incarnation of Christ, the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Christ, the Ascension, so the Paschal Mystery, the sacraments, all other truths of faith, such as, for example, the final coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. All truths that we have received from Jesus, right, through his preaching to the church, to the apostles, to the people, forming the first group of his disciples, from Jesus, through the apostles, up to now. This continuity, you see, we need a continuity to check whether the faith we are professing now is the same faith Jesus taught, and not something that has changed in the meantime. We need a continuity, a line which is uniting myself now with Jesus at his time, in his own time. What is this line, this continuity? this golden thread, the name of this golden thread is the tradition of the church. Tradition is a beautiful word, although nowadays it is a little bit despised, because when you hear tradition, what does it mean? To go back in time. People normally understand tradition as going back in time. To a time, because normally for these people the time has the year zero on a very particular in a very particular year, which is what? The year zero, when this time according to these people properly starts. If you go behind, if you go back that period, you are going back in time. These people are making the beginning in a particular year, which is the year zero of the church. Mm-hmm. You know which year this is? No. Do you understand the question?
No.
This is the problem. let's go back. No, maybe the question is not clear.
Let's got a date.
Yeah, you know, the point is people are afraid of the word tradition, because tradition reminds them of the past. The past. They understand tradition as the past. Tradition is fully biblical, of course. It is the life of the church. But these suspicious people, who are very afraid, even in hearing the word tradition, think that tradition is just something belonging to the past. Yes. So, when I'm speaking now about tradition, someone can easily say, you are trying to bring us back in time. Mm-hmm. Yeah? But my question was, why these people say that I'm supposedly bringing you back in time? Because they assume that the beginning of the church has a particular year, when there is the very start of it, and then before that year there is basically nothing. The year zero of the church, according to these suspicious people, is what?
Roman Empire?
No, quite closer to us.
Was it the Egyptian?
It's
when Jesus died.
No, it's quite tricky. But normally, I can reveal the date to you. Normally, for these people, the year zero of the church is the beginning of Vatican II.
Oh, wow. I didn't catch this.
When the council started, which is 1962, for them that is the beginning of the church. To be traditional means to go back in time, which means to go behind. To go back. To back that date, which there is basically nothing. This is the ideology, unfortunately. This is the ideology preventing the people from understanding the right meaning of tradition. Tradition is not to go back in time to a date which suits us best. But to go, tradition means this vitality of the message of Christ coming from Christ to us without any break, any interruption. There must be a line connecting us with Jesus through the apostles without any break, any historical break. The church does not begin in a particular year that suits us best. The church begins with Christ. The church comes from the pierced side of Christ. And we have the church as it is, as it was, founded by Christ only when we keep the tradition of the Church. Tradition is this line, this connection. So, to believe correctly means to believe according to the tradition of the Church, to stick to it. Tradition means the way to hand over to other people what the apostles first and then their successors have received. From who? From Jesus, from the mouth of our Lord. The only possible way we can connect ourselves with Jesus in his historical time, listening again the words coming out of his mouth, is only the tradition of the Church. This passing on to other people the same message, the same doctrine. Of course, while passing on that doctrine, there is a kind of a new understanding of it, but a better, deeper understanding, not a way to change it, not a way to reject it, not a way to replace it with a new idea. No, if we do this, we reject the teaching of Christ. That's why, if you believe correctly, this means you have to believe according to the tradition of the Church, to believe what the Church has always taught, which practically means that if someone is speaking, preaching a new doctrine which is not a doctrine of the Catholic Church and the tradition of the Church, this doctrine cannot be accepted, because it is not the doctrine spoken by Christ and taught by the apostles. This is the point. There is a confusion in the Church, but you faithful have a beautiful way to sort it out, not to be led astray by anyone. Even if an angel came from heaven and taught a different gospel, St. Paul, you have not to listen to him. You have to listen to St. Paul, because St. Paul is an apostle, and he has received the revelation directly from Christ. Even if an angel came, you have not to listen to him. This is the reason of sticking to the tradition of the Church, which means to be traditional, yes, but it is the life of Catholicity. Without tradition, we don't have any, we are scattered. Nowadays, we are scattered because we have a wrong idea of tradition. We think that tradition is just a way to chronologically go back in time. So we understand the time as chronos and not kairos. It is just to go back, because the time is this kind of succession of events without any presence, of course, of God's providence, of his presence in history. That's why nowadays I think the message of Fatima is very, very central, very important, because it reminds us of God's primacy. God is the Lord of history. He is guiding the history. But especially in the Church is guided by Christ. The time the Church is going through is a blessed time. It's the time of divine providence. So if we understand this, the time, the tradition is this grace-filled time of the Church. Of course it is, there is a succession of events, but this succession of events is guided by the Holy Spirit. But it is necessary to always keep this continuity of the message, continuity of the doctrine.
So, Father, you say that the Holy Spirit is allowing this, in this time that we're in now, that he's allowing this confusion for some providential purpose or reason. Because if only he follows...
Better to say he's permitting.
He's permitting.
Because, of course, the Holy Spirit is not the cause of it. The Holy Spirit does not want to the confusion. The confusion is the right opposite of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, of course, the Holy Spirit is present. He's not on holiday, he's away. But the Holy Spirit is here, and he permits this great mess in order to teach us something. Are we learning something from all these cares? We have to learn that when we reject tradition, the chaos pops up. We live in a chaos, right, because we have rejected the tradition of the Church. There is a beautiful principle laid down by Tertullian, a great writer of the first centuries. Tertullian said, in a juridical way even, to pin down the tradition of the Church, the importance of the tradition of the Church.